Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John. We got another great solo episode for you today with more lessons from CEDH. CEDH is a metagame within the Greater Commander format, which sits at one extreme with highly consistent and highly efficient decks. And while not all cards are equally powerful in all formats, or even in all metagames, there are certainly lessons to be learned from how people are brewing with such powerful cards. The powerful card we want to talk about this time is none other than Timna the Weaver. Timna the Weaver is 1, a white and a black for a legendary creature human cleric, a 2-2 partner with lifelink. At the beginning of your post-combat main phase, you may pay X life, where X is the number of opponents that were dealt combat damage this turn. If you do, draw X cards. So Timna is a so-so 2-2 for 3 mana, who ties you into one of the worst colors in the format, and you have to deal combat damage and pay life to even draw cards. This doesn't seem like that great of a deal, but in CEDH, the ground game has been historically a lot less clogged up. Prior to partners hitting the table with Commander 2016, few decks could reliably depend on having creatures on the battlefield, much less ones that could reliably block Timna. This left things wide open for Timna and a bunch of mana dorks and hate bears to start chipping in to draw some extra cards. Against 3 opponents, Timna with 2 dorks causes you to go down 1 life and up 3 cards in your post-combat main phase. This gives you a way to not just maintain card parity, but actually go up on card advantage against 3 different opponents and to reliably dig out answers as well as assemble the tutors and cards you need for a typical A plus B CEDH win condition. So Timna represented a reliable source of card advantage in the command zone, which arguably brings the most powerful color in CEDH, as well as the ability to partner up and expand your color identity even further. Comparisons have been made to having a necropotence in the command zone, being able to trade life for cards at the cost of 1 life for each card draw. Maybe even comparisons to a certain demon. 4-color decks in CEDH, where you have a perfect mana base, really have very few restrictions, as you can essentially pick and choose from the most powerful cards and effects in each of 4 out of the 5 colors in the game, essentially breaking the dynamic of each deck having weaknesses based on the colors that it has to choose from. Card advantage in the command zone, plus the deck wanting to play mana dorks and hate bears, provides the deck with many different reliable paths to a turn 2 Timna. Lots of emphasis in CEDH is on sculpting an opening hand which has action and a path to winning, both of which Timna decks tend towards, meaning you're going to have more good and keepable opening hands. Turn 1, fetch, crack, duel, play a dork, into turn 2, land drop and Timna, means that on turn 3 you can start digging for action. This is a typical discussion that CEDH players will have when discussing how they're going through their mulligan decisions for their decks. When dorks represent both ramp as well as card draw, due to Timna being in the command zone, well, these are still two of the most powerful things you can do in our format, even in CEDH. Essentially, Timna's stat line has warped the whole of the CEDH meta. It blocks Timna has been used as shorthand to identify creatures which have 3 toughness that Timna can't attack into and force the opponent to decide whether them going down a card, a creature on the battlefield, is worth giving a card draw to the Timna player. It blocks Timna profitably denotes a creature who blocks Timna and has 2 power to not just stop Timna connecting, but also killing Timna in the process while leaving your creature untouched on the field. This means that the magic number in CEDH is 3. A creature with 3 toughness blocks Timna and often enables you to block Timna profitably. Further, due to Timna, all of her mana dork and hate bear friends, Pyroclasm has become a format-defining board wipe. For 2 mana, it deals 2 damage, which means it kills Timna, it kills all of her dorky and hate bear friends, which means it takes away the card draw, the ramp, and the engine, as well as the lock pieces from Timna decks. Further, 3 toughness dodges all of these efficient 2 damage board wipes. This is one of the reasons why cards like Dranith Magistrate are so powerful and format warping in CEDH. They dodge the most common form of removal in the game. But you may be saying, John, I don't play CEDH. Outside of CEDH, what does any of this even matter? In general, the lessons we should take away from this are that Timna's format warping power, these are useful lessons to understand three key points. Number one, card advantage in the command zone is good. So stop me if you've heard this one before. The higher your card quality in your deck is, the better served you are to see more of those cards during a game. This creates more opening hands, which include a path to victory, which is why so many recent designs from R&D have included commanders that simply reward you for doing a thing with more card draw. It has become a little bit almost old hat at this point to see what the new Simic legend is and how they're going to draw you more cards. Timna really emphasizes just how powerful card advantage in the command zone is, and this is a lesson to take when you're trying to build your own decks. Commanders who represent a source of card advantage from the command zone means that their decks will inevitably see more cards throughout the course of a game and thus have a much more reliable and often powerful game plan as a result. The next lesson to take away from Timna is that early aggression from a focused deck demands changes in the metagame. Josh and Jimmy on the command zone have been pretty open about how their deck building has been warped over the years thanks to early aggression from decks in their metagame like Craig Blanchett's Infect decks. Early creatures who can stem that early aggression rob focused decks of their advantage when they try to depend on being able to connect with their aggressive but often fragile creatures. Baleful Strix is heavily played for a reason. It gets value, it gives you back a card, and it's a potent blocker that can block both flying and ground creatures, and then it's a body that's really easy for black to reuse later on. Death Touch also means that it is going to trade with anything that it chooses to block. Efficient board wipes also serve to stymie focused decks on or before their critical turn, and this can be devastating. The final lesson for us to take away from Timna is that must-answer threats, like Timna, that are present within your meta define a magic number for your metagame, and this defines your deck building and how you're going to tune your answers. So a 2-3, as we've established, blocks Timna profitably, it survives Pyroclasm. But on the other hand, if it's Tiny Bones who's got you down, you're probably less worried about blocking that rascal with a 2-3, since Tiny Bones doesn't really depend on attacking to do his thing. You're probably much more focused on being able to deal 2 damage and have your creatures survive such effects. On the other hand, let's say it's Blim, comedic genius, who's being a pain in the butt, gifting you with horrible curses. Having reliable access to 3 power blockers with flying or reach is crucial to make sure that someone else is the one being cursed, not you. If one of your friends in your playgroup is causing headaches by ramping out to insane levels with Keenan, Bond or Prodigy, then it's probably time to start getting more efficient board wipes. Your magic number is going to be 2, as this will kill all of his or her mana dorks and Keenan in one fell swoop. Similarly, an Abrade can answer not just Keenan with those 3 damage, but can also destroy Basalt Monolith, one of the key combo pieces in many Keenan Bond or Prodigy decks. So that about wraps it up for this lesson from CEDH. What Timna has taught us is that card advantage in the command zone is good, really good, and that early aggression from a focused deck demands changes in the metagame, forcing other players to warp the way they build their decks to be able to answer those early threats. And the must-answer threats that are present in the metagame are the ones who define the magic number for that particular metagame, which in turn will describe which answers are going to be the most efficient ones for those particular threats and for that metagame as a whole. So what do you think? Which cards define your metagame's critical number? Leave us a comment. If you want to find us on Twitter, we're at GemstoneMimeMTG. If you have a longer form question or comment, hit us up via email. We're gemstonemindpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back again next week. We've got another great episode planned for you in the more long-form traditional audio podcast format. Until then, I'm John. This is Gemstone Mine. Take care. You can reach the crew from Gemstone Mine on Twitter at GemstoneMineMTG or send us an email at GemstoneMinePodcast@gmail.com. On YouTube, we're Gemstone Mine Podcast. Be sure to like, subscribe, and hit the notification bell.